You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, most consumers became aware of artificial intelligence's power and potential through internet platforms like Google, Facebook, and Amazon, and a lot of others as well. Today, AI is essentially across a vast array of industries, including the healthcare sector, banking, retail, and manufacturing. But it's a game-changing promise to do things like improve efficiency, bring down costs, and accelerate research and development has been tempered of late, by the way, with worries that these complex, opaque systems may and do, of course, pose the risk of more societal harm than economic good. And to help us understand that, it is Professor Kanyani. Professor, good evening.
Good evening, and everyone.
How are you today, Prof?
No, it's just been hectic during the day.
But yes.
The day is over now.
Yes.
Have to rest.
Indeed, the day is certainly over. But I hope that in the business it was a good one.
Yeah, it was a good one. I hope I'm a robot to do things in a robot way.
I love the pardon there, Prof.
Yeah.
But no, thank you so much, Prof, for joining us. I promise you, we're not going to keep you more than we should so that you can get some time to rest there. But I just wanted to start perhaps at a very elementary level there, Prof. When we are talking about artificial intelligence, before we even look at the ethical concerns in terms of its advancement and the future, what are we talking about when you're talking about artificial intelligence, even at an elementary level?
I think that's a good point of departure because I mean, even emanate from artificial, you know, intelligence. So that means it's intelligent that is not human. Let me put it that way. It's not a human. It's a machine-made intelligent. Yeah, machine, that means computers generate that type of information.
Yeah.
And make it as if it's a human, you know.
Yeah, sure. Are we now saying, Prof, that intelligence is not only left to human beings, now we can leave it to robots?
Yeah, robots, whatever it is. Let's take an example.
Yeah.
These robots are just not an evolution.
Yes.
Generated by human beings.
Yes.
If you look at the plane, they use the what you call prototype.
Yeah.
If you see an aeroplane, for example, it's a prototype of a bird. A bird is flying, and then it's been prototyped. So that is the same thing we're talking about artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
It's prototyping what is already existing.
Yeah.
But that has already been generated by a human being, but is prototyping the human thinking.
Okay, and that's the artificial part of it because it's not the natural,
yeah,
I suppose. Okay, yes. I'm with you there, Prof. I'm following you quite very
carefully.
And I can
take the aeroplane is an artificial of a bird.
Yes.
That is flying on the sky.
Yes, I'm definitely with you. But by the sounds of it then, Prof, it seems like it raises some ethical, and I suppose some people have even, called them key ethical issues concerning this AI. Do you share the same? And if you do, what are those key ethical considerations then with this artificial intelligence that seemingly, is becoming a bit of a pain?
This is going to be a pain because even now when I was researching, because I've been in this space for quite some time.
Yes.
But research from a social science is not in the natural. But they are already, AI detectors.
Okay.
That detect what has been produced, whether it has been produced by a human being or by a robot or this AI.
Yeah.
But there are those who went further to develop an instrument that can avoid those detectors to detect that information. So that means that if you run a scan, it will say this is generated from AI.
Yeah.
But already there's a technology that can bypass that detection.
Yo.
So now it borders on that ethical question to say, as a human being, when say, for example, I'm in a university space for more than 20 years now. If I give a student some assignment to do, then it borders on the student to carry the responsibility of being ethical and honest to the teacher and say, this is coming from me.
Yeah.
But if it is the teacher who is going to detect what the student has written, in this day and age, it's going to be very difficult.
This
detection and anti-detection softwares. So that's a big problem that we are exposed to.
And I think I had someone who was talking about how, for example, they used Meta AI, for example, to corroborate and even, validate what the other Meta AI said. So a person took one Meta AI from this platform and used, again, artificial intelligence on the other one to just corroborate what the other is saying. Is that where ethics now come into place?
Yeah, the borderline becoming very thin.
Yeah.
Because now, how do you justify whether this is being done this way?
Yeah.
Whereas that type of information can be recontextualized and claimed that it is yours.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the doer, how do you guarantee the doer of that act is ethical or not?
Yeah,
it is difficult when he has used software as an anti-detector of the artificial intelligence.
So it sounds like we're going to keep on detecting the other until for a very long time.
If you follow the storyline of cyber security, there's a cyber attacks. There are those who are attacking. There are those who are defending.
Yes.
So now that exercise is very crucial because there are those who are bombing the system. There are those who are defending.
Yes.
So in the same situation, if we are allowed to use these artificial intelligence softwares, you'll be able to see that the borderline of ethics depends now on the ethicality of the person as an individual, which is difficult.
Yeah, which is really, really
difficult. You can't distinguish a thief and an honest person.
Yeah. Will AI get to that space at least in some time so that you can be able to tell people just by running some other artificial platform that can scan them, this is a liar, this person is just generally a liar. We need that, Prof. Don't we? Because it's difficult these days.
Knowledge is, God says knowledge increases.
Yes.
So research is what, but to me, I learned to agree that there is nothing new under the sun.
Yes.
Because all of this is a human being that generates this.
That's very true. Yeah. And then let's talk about then the, like you said, there's the ethicality of the person then, right? Whether you're sitting as a defender, I suppose the defender or on the other side who is now bombing or causing all these problems. There's opportunities, just as a FYI here, Prof, there's an opportunity for people to take advantage and make monetary gains from all of this thing that's happening here.
Remember, these days we don't transact with money.
Yeah.
We transact with data. Data is a currency of these days. So it's monetized in a way that it's business, actually.
Yeah.
Even everything that we do in life borders on transactions. So data these days is gold, it's money. It is something that people are hanging on, because once you have data, you have everything. So now, who generate this data? It is very important. What is not much important is the consumer of the of this information, but the producer of this information is the one who get the gold out of this thing. So now it is very crucial to see that the world is revolving around a business activity or economic activity.
Yeah.
It's all about to make money.
Yeah.
It's all about TikTok, whatever, anything. People are generating knowledge through TikTok and they are monetized. Facebook, whatever. You find that the old companies are built on the artificial intelligence and there is a network that is all about monetizing.
Yeah. Sure. And how do we then address these, Prof, or if maybe there's no way we can address these ethical issues around the advancement of AI, is there a way to control, mitigate or anything? Because some people argue that we can't stop this thing. I think I've heard people in this space who are saying even the leaders themselves who are advancing, who have been advancing this AI thing, they themselves are at a stage where they're saying, well, this thing is growing faster than we can actually, you know, control it ourselves. So just let it continue and find its own form, shape, whatever. Is there a way we can control this thing, particularly from an ethical point of view, or at least mitigate the ethical risks?
Yeah, you remember when we started this, talk last year?
Yeah.
That was last year.
Yeah.
But between last year and where we are, knowledge has moved rapidly.
Yes.
And it has disrupted the landscape.
Yes.
So, in any way, then it's upon institutions, upon companies, upon organization to develop a regulatory framework, you know, around the use of artificial intelligence. I know in the educational space, we are still wrestling. There are other institutions which are ahead to develop some policies and guidelines. And there are those who are still anti, the ChatGPT and other softwares.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter, the reality is that you are against this. You are not going to win the game. You either embrace it, but develop a regulatory mechanisms so that at least there's a minimal control in the use of this. Just imagine, I'm talking more in the industry and also in the investment.
Yeah,
we are graduating people who are certified, isn't it? And then 50% of that graduation find that they've used this ChatGPT artificial intelligence. That means that we are graduating people who.
Who have not
utilized their human capabilities and they are going and serve as medical doctors and they cause trouble. So these are the issues we are faced with every day. But the regulatory mechanisms is what I think is other industries have professional bodies which have control of integrity in every spaces. So I think that is a way to go for me. But otherwise, it won't be a universal approach. It should be depending on institution to institution, how they regulate this.
Yeah, Prof, you raise a really important point, particularly the example around doctors who may rely on artificial intelligence during their studies. And so they haven't really grasped the content and really, I suppose, understood. And these are the people that may have to deal with people at the end of the day. And even cars and all those sort of stuff, people who are engineers, they use ChatGPT, for example, during their schooling life, and they go and design cars that really kill people. So at the education level, which is, like you said, you spent over two decades or so there, are there any regulations that are pending? Is there a government that seems to be, either moving towards this or there's just this, government also? Because when you speak regulation, most people think government, right? Besides industry bodies and all that. Mm-hmm. But governments, is government even understanding what we are talking about here? Or is there some sort of glimmer of hope that they are moving into some sort of regulation, or is just maybe left to industry bodies?
Yeah, remember, here it's like we're chasing a mirage.
Ish, yeah.
We think we're thirsty or we're looking for water. Hmm. That's the mirage. So posts keep on shifting. And as a result, that's why it's very important to be up to date with the reality and the way the world is moving. It's moving very fast.
Yeah.
To me, you come with a legislation last year when this thing was started, you have to amend it because already there is a ChatGPT plus and there is artificial. I'm actually having a software which I'm also using. But on my own personal use, it has all layers. You say how to write an essay, how to, as a math teacher, how do you make calculations or formulas that you can generate and all of these things. So these things were not there, but they've been built now. Mm. So therefore, you need to be always be on the watch, on the horizons, to always keep pace to create gatekeeping mechanism to protect the integrity of the organization.
Yeah, that's really, really important. In your opinion, is there a need to pause this thing?
No, like as I said, this is a floodgate. It has opened. How do you stop a flood?
Sure.
So it is in, and then it's changing our lives and our behaviors. Mm. But we need to find a way to adapt in a way that we can able to still use it for our advantage, because there are some positives into this. Just imagine you go to these auto banks or these are machines that the bank we're no more going to the bank, but also we are going to auto machine. There's no need to go to the auto machine now, because you can do some fintech services, you know, financial technology services by transacting on e-wallet and whatever. So now this thing is used for our advantage. The phone I'm using, you're calling me, but I use it as a bank. I use it as an education instrument. Yeah. I use it in viral. So my life is sitting on the palm of my hand here. So I cannot say, let's shun these things.
Yeah.
You need to embrace it.
Yeah.
It's good enough.
Yeah.
So it's dangerous.
It's very dangerous. And that's what I want to ask. Those that fear it, do you think the fear is justified?
Of course, we have the diehards, you know, and they like the doubting Thomas. And it's good to have the diehards, because what if we all plunge ourselves into a hole and find ourselves into trouble? Good to have those who are the pace setters, who are ahead. They experiment this, they test this. Diehards who are holding on the status quo, they will be safe, you know?
If
this is working positively, then we'll join on the way.
Yeah.
You know, it's not all of us will join on the same
pace.
So we studied this, we are skepticals. It's good to also to be skeptical, because you can't just run into these things. You need to understand this thing and its dynamics and then move along the pace setters, you know, and join the pack.
Ah, fantastic. So we do need people that...
And that's where education comes from.
Yes.
You need to exercise an amount of education to do certain things in the way that will able to succeed you.
Indeed.
What you want to achieve.
Yeah, indeed. So we do need people who will just pull us back a little bit and raise skeptics on some of the advancements around this thing and say, hey, Mark, this thing doesn't look like, you know, it's going the right direction. Although we need to embrace it. That's what I'm also hearing you say. You know, let's embrace it. Let's not shun away from it, but it's good to have people that also will pull back the plugs so that it's not moving as fast as I suppose it could, to the detriment of society as well. As we round off on this one, like I said, I'm not going to keep you too much, my good prof. I know you had a good day. My last question is, for us who are Christians, and it's a selfish question, for us who are Christians, this thing, it can help us in our church services. The advancement of AIs can help us with those sort of things. We as Christians, we shouldn't run away from it. This is not 666, as it were, you know?
Yeah. Of course, we are alarmists sometimes.
Yeah.
So we can say this is actually the mark of the beast.
Yes.
You know? So to me, we need to build in efficiencies in the church.
Yes.
The churches are, I think COVID taught us to think differently.
Yeah.
Whilst it's important to always have human interactions.
Yes.
At some point, augmentation, you know, of the work that the church is doing is very crucial. I take the example, if I prepare a sermon, for example, I just go to church, reconstruct the idea, and then move on.
Yeah.
If there's an online, you know, preaching, embrace it. These days, I mean, I'm still asking myself, why are we having deacons in the church, moving around, singing those songs, you know, when we are in this, maybe in the villages there, we can do, but I'm just surprised to say, of course, if you check, 80% of the people have the phones, not necessarily just the smartphones.
Yeah.
We have them. You can transact on the transact an offering.
Yeah.
Actually, the church has moved ahead of us because we now have seven me. Those are capabilities that I think they are the tools of the trade, even in the church.
Oh, that's really beautiful there. Any final words, Prof, and then we let you go. Really appreciate your insights. How do we round it up as we are looking at the future of this thing?
Yeah, so to me, we used to fourth industrial revolution is coming. The fourth industrial revolution is with us. Actually, there's a move to the fourth, to the fifth, to the sixth, to the seventh.
Yep.
So we are already into this thing.
Yeah.
And then we need to just be very cautious, be sensitive about it.
Yeah.
And be able to still be human beings, not robots.
Yeah.
Robots are there to, we should not be augmenting the robots.
Yeah.
Robots are there to augment, to make our life easy. And I think I want to say, up on the game, be sensitive on the horizon, and be very ethical. You know, this is a test of our ethical integrity as a church.
Sure. Thank you so much, Prof. Really appreciate your time and have a beautiful evening and a restful one.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Thank you so much. That was, of course, our good professor there, Professor Kanyane. Ethics in this issue of artificial intelligence, a very, very big topic, but he has definitely helped us to fully understand it a little bit for all those of us who are just novices in this space.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.